the line every time. I'm confronted, I'm unafflicted by my actions. Suffering is the result of a game. Victory at the cost of pain. Like a freight train, you're tied to the tracks. No way to escape, there's no coming back. You're in my way, and I haven't got the time to turn. This channel, walk away. Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and I'm in a good mood. I just ate some food.
Yeah. I thought you'd be in a good mood because we just had Christmas.
Oh, I hate Christmas.
You hate Christmas?
Yeah.
What'd you get for Christmas?
Peace and love and goodwill to all men, good men. And
so you got both peace and love?
Peace and love. Peace and love.
I gotta tell you. You, Mo, for Christmas, You may have got peace and love. You may got two things, but you don't have two slammies.
Woo!
I have the greatest fiancé in the world. I am now the proud owner of not one, but two slammies.
You mean the let me see them.
That's right. We talk wrestling. They're on the shelf.
We're on Skype. You can't turn the camera towards them?
Oh.
That's good. That's awesome. You have two slammies. The producer got you two slammies? Seriously.
I am a two-time Slammy Award winner. And I did it all by myself.
That's awesome. That's one for each of us.
You don't have two slammies because you're a loser. And I'm a winner. Me and my slammies.
Owen was the greatest. He was just the greatest ever. Oh. I miss that guy daily. All right, let's actually move on to
current wrestling.
No, I would rather talk about Owen and his slammies. Well, Actually, you know what? We're coming off a week I enjoyed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pourquoi?
Pourquoi?
Yeah. That means why in French.
Oh, I thought it meant pork. Mm-hmm. Started thinking about pork.
You made it pork Patrick Waugh?
Why did I enjoy it? Well, number one, I really enjoyed the closing angle on Raw with Daniel Bryan and the Wyatt family. And Lesnar was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care about anything else because I watch.
Lesnar was awesome
because I watch on PVR. So I really only watched those two segments. So that made a great show.
It really
I kind of enjoyed the opening segment with the Shield, the way Punk.
Yeah.
Worked them. I thought that was booked well and performed well, too. So,
building dissension in the ranks.
Yeah. It means we'll never get the Wyatt family versus the Shield, probably.
You know what we need, though, is we need someone to ask Dean Ambrose who's the leader.
And what would he say?
I'm the leader. Leave us alone.
Oh, and...
But I thought that was good. I like that. You know, I want to face the best. Well, then let's have another match. You know, it's just very, and it's like, no, what?
Yeah. And I beat you like 25 times because he's the U.S. champion. And as we said, the worst thing that'll ever happen to him is being the U.S. champion. He won't win another match. And that has happened. They have done a good job jobbing them out.
No one man can beat the three of them unless it's on pay-per-view and it just happened.
Yeah, exactly.
But that was, I kind of laughed at that. He's like, no one man could beat you. I'm like, can you just do that?
Yeah, no kidding.
In front of 60,000 people.
Yeah. That many people bought it? I'm surprised.
Worldwide?
It's true that one of the things that I kind of assumed was the Roman Reigns would break off. The other two would stick as a team for a while. And now I'm not so sure. Now maybe all three of them will be splitting off. So I'm not really sure what direction they're going in that.
But. Well, one thing I kind of liked, and this happened on SmackDown that nobody saw again. And
yeah, they've taught me that SmackDown's not important, so I rarely watch it. But I did read the recap.
Yeah, that on SmackDown you had Seth Rollins fighting John Cena.
Yeah.
Right, on Raw you had Seth Rollins fighting
CM Punk.
I
heard that was great.
I heard that was great, too. But they're getting – I like the fact that they're giving us some Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Roman Reigns is the guy. Dean Ambrose is been the featured talker. And we talked about this a lot.
That before they came up, all the talk was Dean Ambrose, breakout star. Mm-hmm. When they got there, now they've decided Roman Reigns, breakout star.
Well, they knew Roman. When they put that team together, Roman Reigns, breakout
in
star.
Their mind, in their mind. But that's not what we were hearing. What we were hearing was, oh, everybody's talking about Dean Ambrose before this, right? Even that he was the most ready guy and he was going to be a future world champion. You're hearing this even when he's in NXT or whatever the fuck it's called at the time.
FCW, because it never made it to NXT.
Yeah, exactly. FCW. Yeah, so I almost said OVW. That shows. Yeah, but he wasn't there that long. But, so that's it. I mean, and one of the things I liked was the crowd was chanting Roman Reigns, Roman. So I was like, oh, good. Because really the thing is that Dean Ambrose has probably the most fervent bubbling of a female crossover potential since Randy Orton many years ago, maybe Ambrose? Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I kind of thought that maybe the crowd wouldn't take to Reigns, would want Ambrose to be the face. But that showed to me that, the crowd is they're cottoning on to what they're trying to do.
Well, and he's a big guy who can dominate, right? So you get that kind of – you can get behind that, right, a bit. So I just think, as I said, I'm glad that they've been featuring Seth Rollins just so he can be utilized more prominently than being lost in the shuffle.
We said it before. Yeah. Roman Reigns has the best potential. Mm-hmm. Dean Ambrose is the best, most rounded, and Seth Rollins is the best worker.
Yeah.
And those other two will never be as good a worker as Seth Rollins. But Seth Rollins will never be as good a talker as the other two, right? So,
right.
Well, especially Ambrose. I mean, he'll probably be, but he won't have the X factor that Reigns has. So, I mean, the X factor.
Now you're dealing with the X factor.
That was a bad idea.
No, it was a good idea. It was just a bad song.
That was a bad idea because they put Albert in it.
Well, as a bodyguard for X-Pac and Just Incredible. As a lower card team, it made sense to me. I mean, X-Pac could go into that tag team at the time.
That's where you really started to get the X-Pac heat, though. The go away heat for him, though, was that's where it went to the next level. Is when he was doing X-Factor. Anyways, we're getting to talk old wrestling again, and
I like old wrestling. Hey, speaking of some old wrestling, did you hear who's in NXT?
No.
The son of Ravishing Rick Rude.
Oh. Will he show up on both NXT and Raw on the same day?
I hope so. With a beard and without a beard.
Yeah. Sounds good.
That's done. Done. Let's talk some more about old wrestling. New DVD coming out.
You realize we didn't even come close to talk. We only said, I like the angle and I like Lesnar.
Oh, yeah.
We never actually went any further into it.
You want to talk
maybe Shield? Well, Lesnar. How scary is that motherfucker?
You know what? I feel bad for, really, because we talk about, he was very adamant, especially after Benoit killed himself with Mark Henry. He was one of the most outspoken guys about being careful about who he rides with and things like that, because he doesn't want to get exposed to some shit that guys are doing. And Henry's been hurt quite a bit in his career, especially lately. Seems like he comes back, gets hurt, is off for a while, comes back. But the number of concussions this man must have suffered.
I don't know.
Because, last Friday, or last Tuesday, at the SmackDown tapings, it was informed to the world that Mark Henry had the shit kicked out of him by Brock Lesnar. And then 6 days later, knowing this, Mark Henry still comes out to get the shit kicked out of him by Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think you would learn?
It was recorded on a Sunday.
Still.
Yeah, the next day he got out.
Wouldn't you think you would know?
Yeah.
But that's the concussions that Mark Henry has felt.
Yeah, that's obviously.
And had.
No, it's great, though. I mean, this is perfect because this was booked so well. I mean, you take out Lesnar and he says he wants to be the WWE World Champion, now that there's one belt, you know. Heyman's great. Lesnar kind of stumbles a little bit in his promo, but who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Then you bring out Henry, and everyone's like, "Oh shit, this is going to be good." Like the people that don't watch the internet, they're just casual fans. They're like, "Oh, this is going to be even. There's somebody who can stand up to him," and he doesn't even come close, making Lesnar seem like just the most unstoppable monster. And you want to sacrifice Mark Henry? It doesn't matter because Lesnar's way more money, and now whatever direction they go with Lesnar, and the word is still Undertaker, though this came off very much like it could be Batista, but we're still hearing Batista Orton at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it just like I don't know if they're gonna have a match with Lesnar. I mean, we don't know how many matches he had. What, 3 matches scheduled in his contract before this this contract is for 2 years, not one.
My question to you, that's my question to you, is with Mizark,
mm-hmm.
is what is this lead to now? And I say that because
it doesn't lead to anything in him and Henry.
Brock Lesnar has never had a match since his return on free TV.
No, he's never had.
Smart.
Yeah, that's good.
So I don't waste that with a match with Mark Henry.
No, God no. And they were talking about Big Show, but Big Show is hurt and he didn't get over in that main event push to the point they were hoping. To the point where he could take on Triple H.
I heard that they're talking about Lesnar and Big Show, and then so I did a little research, and it turns out why they didn't do it is because he's the Big Show.
Yeah, exactly.
But to me, what I would do with this leads up to a Wicked
Rumble.
Then
again, Triple H is Triple H. That was one of the other things that was very noticeable on Monday. Actually, no, we'll get back to this in a second. Go ahead, finish your thoughts.
I'm just saying with Mizark, to me this leads to a big Rumble spot. You know, where guys are down or they're the only two in the ring, Henry and Lesnar, and they have to do the shoulder tacker stare down and the F5 and all that right in the middle of the ring, and then he chucks out Henry. That's to me what this leads to.
Yeah, I don't see Lesnar actually taking part in the Royal Rumble match. I think that's very unlikely. Though, I mean, who knows? I mean, it's possible. But I mean, the whole point is that they're saying this is for the – so he can become the champion. But then again, he's also saying, I don't have to earn a shot. If I want a shot, I get a shot. Everybody else gets behind me. I'm Brock fucking Lesnar.
If I'm booking this, and right? Of course I'm not because I'm smart.
Let's give him a little credit for this last week.
No. I put – I put Batista over Orton at Mania.
Yeah.
I put Lesnar over Batista at Extreme Rules.
Okay.
And I put CM Punk over Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam.
I don't know about that.
That's...
like, okay, so you're saying that Batista gets the title, holds it for a month. Lesnar gets the title and holds it for that long. Doesn't defend it for that long because he's not... yes, he's there through 2015 and through WrestleMania 2015, but he doesn't have that many appearances. So you're basically saying now the title isn't defended from WrestleMania to SummerSlam. Don't get me wrong, and only one title, basically. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. I can see some positives for that because that means when WrestleMania or SummerSlam comes around, theoretically there'd be a ton more interest. But you also have to keep in mind at that point there's not going to be a lot of pay-per-view buys because there's a network.
That's right. That's right. So who cares? And maybe they'd have to work it out with maybe Lesnar wins at Money in the Bank. You know, and Batista holds it for a little bit longer and does some defending on some other shows in between Mania and the July Money in the Bank.
We don't know how long Batista's there for.
No, that's true too. That's true too. You know, but again, here he's coming back in January, so if he's around for 6 months, bring us to June. You know, not a huge thing. I mean, I'm just thinking out loud. And as I said, to me, it gets the title back on CM Punk at a time where historically business is shit anyway, and creative sucks wiener. So you might as well just give the title to him, and it gives him his win back over Brock. Heyman's manipulating.
I don't
this
know.
Whole thing.
I don't think he should necessarily have a win back over Brock. And I also don't know that you see John Cena and Randy Orton just eliminated from the title picture that quickly. And you know how much they love to have match after match after same match after match after match on pay-per-view.
And then matches.
And counter after counter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's, I mean, I don't know, that's just kind of the, that's the road that I would travel. But to me, it's Brock. I'd put him in the Rumble. I have Undertaker eliminate him. I have Brock eliminate Undertaker, and there's your match. And then he wants the title. After he fights Undertaker, he goes after the title.
Well, again, you set this up. I don't think he's going to be in the Rumble. He might be, but I just don't think he's going to be in the Rumble. Because who eliminates him?
Undertaker.
Undertaker, and who eliminates Undertaker, I mean?
Brock.
At the same time?
No. Psycho Sid, Hulk Hogan, anybody, run in. The last time fucking Brock eliminated Kurt Angle by running back, or Goldberg. It was Goldberg. Brock ran in and eliminated Goldberg with Jericho's help, I think it was.
Yeah.
But I mean, you do the distraction gimmick and or just come back in and throw Taker out and then Taker's out. Like, I mean, there's lots of ways to do it that you cost it and blah, 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 right? So
I don't see Undertaker in Royal Rumble. Again, I just don't think that I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think you'll see Undertaker till WrestleMania. And I'm sure all of this is set up not so he can actually get any title shots, but just so that he can. Number one, is set up for two things. Number one, the thought that you're going to put a little bit of, if Lesnar wants the title, makes the title a little more valuable. And number two, it's a storyline to lead to him and Taker, or to lead to him and Batista, like I say.
Yeah, which is the match. That's a match.
That's the match.
Yeah.
Yeah. That should be the Russell. I mean, no, actually, I mean, Undertaker and Lesnar at WrestleMania is just as good, but, I mean, yeah.
Well, I think that Undertaker and Lesnar is to me, the WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
I think but Batista and Lesnar is...
I think if you could have Batista-Lesnar for next SummerSlam, that's how kind of...
Okay.
That's how I would kind of, you know...
Yeah, I just don't think they can hold off that long, knowing them.
Again, if Lesnar has a match, depending on his limited dates, right? If Lesnar has a match at Royal Rumble, that means he probably doesn't have the match that he's been having in the past 2 years at Extreme Rules.
At Extreme Rules, that's it exactly. Right? So,
yeah, I mean, it's a lot of, I mean, yeah. What do you think?
There's a lot of stuff, and the nice part about it is that it's all interesting.
Yeah, well, exactly.
It's exactly. Interesting to talk about for a fucking change.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like.
Because again, we can spitball out there a bunch of different ideas, and all of them are good. But we don't know which one for sure they're going with or how they're going to get there.
Lesnar, Dewey, Furnham.
So.
Shoot me. But Daniel Bryan, are we talking about the other part now? We talk about Lesnar. Do we have any more to say?
Yeah,
about
Just, number one, what do you think about Triple H shaking Lesnar's hand?
I think that is consistent with inconsistency that we talked about last time.
Yeah.
I mean, and it kind of, it's just Hunter's a heel. Now,
yeah,
that's what it does, right? Because even when he goes to shake his hand and Lesnar was hesitant and Heyman goes, why not? It's the guy that signs the checks.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
that's all. I mean, who cares, really? I mean, well, how many times have we seen babyface and you like, we go back to 1987 Survivor Series in the opening match and Macho Man Randy Savage and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat are teaming.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, months after their blood feud, a year really after the larynx was crushed. So this isn't new. I just took it as Hunter's a heel now. This shaking his hand solidifies him as
sure.
a heel.
I can
it's
take
best
that.
For business. It was consistent with that.
I'll give you that. Okay. Number one now, before we get to the main event of Daniel Bryan, Stefanie came out.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And Stefanie announced that this time.
Very special match.
A very special match. That's it. A wrestling match with no DQs and no countouts.
Okay, they're gonna
and no
have
run-ins.
No run-ins. Now this thing, this
rest... will finally find out who's the best wrestler.
I'll
that
tell you what happened
before.
I have a problem.
That, but fuck that. It was a ladder match, and that's how you decided and unified the title. Fuck anybody who believed that was important. You morons. Now we're gonna get a real match.
I have a problem. With this, because this reminds me of Vince Russo, in that they're going to have to put like this massive graphic on the screen with all the rules of this. What'd you call it? Wrestling match?
Yes.
I mean, what is that?
fucking idiot. Well, it's got no DQs, only pin, submission and pinfall.
No countout, no time limit, no disqualification, and no run-ins.
And no run-ins.
So what happens if you run in?
And boy, was she ever, number one, she ever looked fat. And number two.
Holiday weight.
And number two, oh man, what a horrible promo. But at least she came out to a little reaction. Not much, but a little bit.
Yeah.
When Triple H came out, this is actually what's interesting to me. I want to talk about this, since nobody's brought this out, I don't think.
Yeah.
I swear to God, he didn't get any more of a reaction than Brodus Clay. Like, he came out, his music hit, and the crowd went, ah, it's Triple H.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Like, it was unbelievable. I cannot think of the last time he got such a small reaction.
Yeah.
Which probably speaks to, again, the character development and the booking and overexposure and all that shit.
You know what? Stephanie can remember being with Triple H the last time that she got a small. Oh. You said reaction. I thought you said erection. But I think, I noticed that too, that there was like, just you could hear crickets.
You could, for both.
You know what?
Especially Triple H.
And to the point where what I was waiting when Hunter was talking, please welcome back to the WWE, I thought he was going to go, Snitsky.
Yeah, no shit.
It was that reaction.
Snitsky, yeah.
Oh, you didn't hear me. I said Snitsky.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Go listen to Vince McMahon telling, go to YouTube, watch Vince McMahon tell Cena he's going to wrestle Snitsky and the crowd's reaction to know what we're talking about. Like, huh? Who cares?
Yeah.
He had a month-long push and all of a sudden they thought he was going to get a huge reaction.
Yeah. Oh my God. And this was after the steroid shit, so he had, like, shrunk down to nothing.
Yeah.
Oh man. But. Yeah. Yeah, Lesnar. So now, we go to, you said Stefani, and she's announcing this wrestling match.
Yeah.
With no run-ins and no disqualifications.
Right now, they really, and they, I know they think that the draw is the Royal Rumble. And,
it is.
And it is. But they still got to put some push on this Royal Rumble to make people excited. Because this is one people, they still want to sell to people on pay-per-view. And with that being the match, I can't picture, like, if this was a B pay-per-view and that was the headline match, I couldn't picture this doing 50,000 buys. Like, there is no excitement for Cena Orton in the wrestling match now.
What they have to do now is they've got to go, you know what actually they need to do, and this can tie
how do
in.
How they keep the title on Orton here if it is no run-ins and whatever?
Well, I mean, he basically beat Cena clean in a ladder match.
I know. I can't picture it happening 2 months in a row.
Well, yeah, but when they say no run-ins, I mean,
well,
but
what are they setting Cena up for? You know what they're setting him up for?
Yeah.
We'll get there, right?
Hmm?
We'll get there.
We'll get there. I'm talking about this Royal Rumble card quickly, but like in terms of what they can do to promote it, and this can tie into next week. Or Monday here being old school Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What's wrong with the Royal Rumble report?
That'd be great, yeah.
With Mean Gene. And you could go through, you know, announce this far for the Royal Rumble, you know.
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes, you know, like all the, and go through the names.
So are
right?
you better off having the surprises like they've had the last few years? Or are you better off announcing the names that are those big surprises that you come back to actually create a little excitement to make you want to get it ahead of time? I think they might be better off. You know.
See, it's hard to say in terms of last year. I mean,
last year was The Rock. It was all about The Rock, anyways.
But 2 years, I think it was 2 years ago when it was Booker, or three years ago. It was Booker and Diesel.
Yeah.
And we knew about
the following year. Remember, it was the three announcers who went in. And good fucking job.
Yeah. But it was quiet, but it got out. But still, WWE didn't announce it. It just got out.
Yeah.
And we talked about the casual fans before, right?
Well,
and
I don't know that they didn't leak it, but
yeah, well, whatever. But I was excited, to see Nash, and the crowd was excited to see Nash and Booker, and you know what I mean. So that was good. And then you flip to last year, and I said it's a little bit different for us last year because we were there. So we weren't actually busy and drinking,
you weren't there.
You don't know, but we we were going to these P-anals and we were busy and we around we weren't on the net. We heard rumors about the Carlitos and the Shelton Benjamins and the Chris Masters and all that, but yeah. Didn't actually know. And so we were more casual fans actually that weekend.
Probably, because we were busy with so much other shit.
Internet stuff. So yeah. I mean, so when The Godfather came out and when Goldust came out and Jericho came out,
Ray
was a surprise. So I mean, things like that, we were popped for it.
Well,
so,
one of the things is that they used to announce like 26 people, and then you'd know there'd be like four. They're not even doing that now. I think last year they probably announced like 8 people.
Exactly. So because they only announced the people that were going to win.
Yeah, basically.
A chance to win. Right? I'm entering the Royal Rumble. It's like, you know, Zack Ryder didn't go, woo, 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 I'm in the Royal Rumble, right?
No, exactly.
But, and that's somewhat smart because there's the title shot on the line, and so Zack Ryder is not winning the Royal Rumble. You know what I mean?
Zack Ryder should say he's winning the Royal Rumble.
Well, he should say it, but who gives a fuck? Yeah. Is what I'm saying. If they don't do it, does it matter?
Coco Beware used to say it, and we knew he wasn't winning.
The title shot wasn't on the line.
Even when the title shot got on the line. Guys like him would.
Well, the one man gang, the you know, I mean, Hogan won a couple of them, but I mean, the first couple.
93 was the first year the title was on the line.
Right.
93, 94. I guarantee you, Henry Godwin was saying he was going to win it, and he wasn't.
He almost did. No. I know what you mean, though.
Yeah.
And as sad as this sounds, Henry Godwin had a pretty good shot given the talent roster in 1994.
That's true.
But I think that when I look at these guys, I mean, for me, it doesn't really ruin the surprise if, I mean, will I pop more hardcore when I hear, and the man from Stone Mountain, Georgia comes out into the Royal Rumble, or do they announce next week that Jake the Snake Roberts is in the Royal Rumble?
Well, let's look back here. Okay, let's look back then. We're talking about this. Last year they didn't announce – we didn't expect Jericho.
Right.
They did a good job. When he came out, his reaction was better than The Rock's. Like that reaction when he came out was the reaction of the night. I went crazy. Everybody went – the crowd went crazy. It was awesome live to be there for that reaction. Now, several years earlier, I think – what was it, 96? I think it was 96 when they announced Jake Roberts was coming back. They announced that Kurt Hangin was coming back. They announced –
No, that was different. But
that was a different one. You're right. That was the year. Same. That was like 2001 or something like that, or 2002 when Goldust came back and stuff too. But
Jake the Snake, the one that came back.
Well, Jake the Snake came out. Guess what? He also still got the reaction of the night.
He got a massive pop, and people knew about it. Now, again,
one of the reasons why I wanted to see that event was because I knew Jake the Snake was going to be back in, and I was curious. So it can work. It could work both ways.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it can. It can. And I was more on that 96 Rumble.
I think
wanting to see
the
debut
live reaction.
Yeah.
It can work both ways. For actually selling the pay-per-view, I think at this point the surprises are kind of played out, and people don't go, oh, fuck, what'd I miss? I think they'd rather know what they're going to get.
Yeah, that's right. I agree. And as I said, with Old School Raw next week, you've got the opportunity to bring out some old stars to say, I'm going to be in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Jake the Snake Roberts, DDP. They showed DDP on the graphic, and nothing says Old School Raw like Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah. I don't know how good DDP is doing with this or not. I mean, he's had some slips, so.
Yeah.
This, you know.
But as last we've seen, Jake.
Was better.
I mean, he had some slips early, but he seems to have been better lately.
Well, he had enough slips when he was with DDP that Scott Hall, who was also there, had to leave. To not be around him. So, you know.
But, I mean, if Jake can get Rumble ready and Hall of Fame ready.
That'd be cool. That'd be very cool.
Then that's, you know what I mean? Like, that to me is. And
you're looking forward
to
tomorrow night, the Bad News Barrett and Bob Backlund interaction, right? That's what it's going to be. I mean, Bad News. I did like it. I mean, the gimmick is awful. The promo is off. Just because the material he works with is so awful. I mean, he's really working and sells it. But, I mean, I do love the podium rising like 30 feet in the air.
Yes.
You know, for Bad News Barrett.
I'm looking forward to the Bad News Barrett Ric Flair segment.
That could be.
where Bad News Barrett can tell him the bad news is you're going to get divorced 6 more times.
The bad news is you're going to cost JR his job, and you're going to be back and he's not.
I know, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, Ricky Flair back on...
We suspect. I mean, we I don't know everybody on that video is actually who's going to be back, but yeah, should be.
I assume the New Age Outlaws are back.
Oh, New Age Outlaws. I see them beating up 3M Band, or 3MB, for sure.
2MB.
2MB. Where is Heath Slater?
He has personal problems.
Okay, I thought he just didn't come to Canada because he'd been arrested or whatever. Same reason Swagger couldn't get over the border.
He's off taking care of personal issues, so I don't know if he raped someone else.
I just assume.
Yeah.
Or maybe that trial's finally coming due.
Yeah, or maybe money is suing him for fucking him against his will.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
He's fucking money.
A
lot of these jokes, you have to actually go into the archives and listen to every... New listeners, you have to listen to every old show.
Now, was that SmackDown recap from, 2011 or something?
Yeah, when we were there live. And,
I'm fucking money.
Yeah, he comes out. He wrestles Sin Cara 3 times that night. Yes. Unico is Sin Cara.
For one match.
Yeah, for one match that they had to keep, because they kept on fucking up, so they had to tape it over and over and over. And the third time as he's leaving, he goes, I'm fucking money.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm fucking cash.
I do like the people that were announced for Old School Raw. It's like the New Age Outlaws. Rikishi and Scotty Too Hotty.
I love the idea of Rikishi there with the Usos because they did it before, and the Usos got a reaction when they danced with them. But that was when they were on TV twice a year. Now they'll actually be out there as regular characters, and it should really get over that they're with, you know, that they're his kids, that they dance with them and everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you go, and I think the last time was
You know what? I think it'd probably be good for their career if he permanently became their manager, yeah.
Yeah.
And was down there and dancing with them because he gives them a little more charisma boost, too. I think they actually have charisma, but I think if he was there, and then you can build to eventually having a 6-man match with him against, it could be the Wyatts, who knows, like for SummerSlam or whatever down the road. It doesn't matter. The point being that you don't have to have him wrestle until, but eventually you probably will. But yeah, I mean, I would absolutely have him there regularly. I think he'd be great with them. So WWE, because we know you listen, think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that could be, that would be good for him to,
I think it'd be good for
everybody.
Everybody, yeah.
Then you get the $1 Million Man and IRS.
Yeah.
There. So we see the Rhodes Brothers against Money Inc.
That would be great.
You got, who else has come out today? We said the New Age Outlaws. We mentioned our good friend DDP. Booker T.
I don't know if he might be your good friend. Every time he comes on, he calls me a fat fuck.
Yeah, that means he likes you. DDP. Booker T.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Backlund, as we said. Rowdy Roddy Piper will be there. And Ric Flair. I don't know when Hall of Fame tickets go on sale, but it seems to be about this time every year where the tickets go on sale where they announce that headliner for the Hall of Fame, and then they kind of leave it alone for a month. They've been doing that the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And again, I just look at old school Raw as a way that you're going to have some people there.
Who's the best potential headliners for this year?
Still one of the Mega Maniacs, I think, right?
Well, yeah, besides him.
Hmm?
Who else?
Well, both members.
Well, you're saying as the presenter, Hulk Hogan presents it to Mega Macho Man?
Well, that's a Mega Powers. I'm talking about the Mega Maniacs. I'm talking about, it's either,
Brutus?
To me, it's either, that was the Mega Maniacs. Well, what the fuck were they called? The Ultimate Madness or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Savage.
Ultimate Warrior Savage, okay.
Yeah, those to me are the two, those are the two that to me would be the odds-on favorite, I would think.
Yeah. Probably. I mean, I'm trying to think of who else they got. And the fact that they took someone like Foley who could have headlined and used him third or fourth from the top in a year, you know?
Yeah. Foley was going to headline.
Yeah.
And then they got Bruno, right? Yeah. And so what do? You don't say, Foley, I don't want you to go in anymore.
Yeah, you do. You say, Foley, I want you to headline it next year.
No, but they'd already announced Foley, right? Foley was the guy that they announced for the tickets going on sale.
Yeah.
Because Bruno was done. Bruno was a last-minute deal, right?
That's true.
In terms of finalizing it all. So, I mean, I don't
think you could have figured out some way to do it. You could have figured out a way to do it.
You could have, but I mean, did it really matter?
You could have had Foley there introducing somebody instead.
Does it really matter?
Yeah. Eh, well, it does matter because you're going to run it, because I think they're running low on headliners.
Again, when you've got Randy Savage, you've got the Ultimate Warrior still out there, right?
Well, so I'm thinking, how about somebody like Nash?
Well, you've got
Nash. Because I think he's far more likely to go in than, say, Warrior and Savage.
Well, yeah, Nash could go in. I mean, and
headline, right? He could headline? I think he could.
I guess.
Well, if Edge headlined.
Yeah, Edge headlined with the Four Horsemen.
I suppose, yeah.
I mean.
Well, same thing. It would have to be Nash. You're right. You have to have somebody significant with him.
Yeah, Luger.
Sting.
But Sting, yeah, Sting for sure.
Get him.
I mean, who knows? We're going to eat that. I mean, I think Sting is sticking around with TNA, it looks like.
Maybe. But then AJ Styles with ROH now.
Yeah, in the Nashville Fairgrounds. Yeah. Cameras are going to be there. That's a TV taping.
That's right.
According to, I think, and I didn't know this, I was watching ROH on Sinclair last week. Yep. They did their Year in Review show,
yep.
Which was an awesome show.
Of course it was.
Because as someone who just started to watch Ring of Honor again regularly on this weekly show, it caught me right up.
Yeah.
In terms of what's happened last year. But what I didn't realize, it also pointed out the fact that, like, right under the radar, and we didn't even talk about this, and I don't know when it happened. I haven't been able to find it. But the host of the show, like, Darren Young has jumped to ROH.
What?
There was a gay black man on my television.
Darren Young is not gay. Didn't you see him on Raw when he came out with a sauna and Eve Torres or something like that, and his arm. I thought that lucky guy getting all that hot pussy.
I know, right? But Darren Young's ROH name is Larry Mercer. So, probably because WWE owns the Darren Young name, I would assume.
Yeah, well, he shouldn't be moonlighting anyways. He shouldn't be, you know, double-dipping like that.
Mooning? But, I think that old-school Raw is at your opportunity. I think that watching the Hall of Fame now, I'm trying to think of anybody else that could go in with Nash as, like, a co-headliner.
Well, if he's cleaned up Hall...
You could put X-Pac in then, too?
You could.
I think I would.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who else.
I'm trying to think.
Who could co-headline with
Kevin? How about a Honky Tonk Man underneath and Kevin Nash on top? Honky Tonk is the semi-main.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about Darren Young, so you can talk about underneath. But I was thinking...
Talking about Scott Hall.
That's right.
And the New Age Outlaws.
You want to get some a little more.
How about the New Age Outlaws in?
I agree. The New Age
Outlaws. Kevin Nash headlining New Age Outlaws underneath. There's a lot of guys you could do.
I agree. The New Age Outlaws should go in, but I also look at guys like I look at Demolition and the British Bulldogs, and
I can't believe those two teams aren't in. I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, I look at those 80s teams and wonder, like, they should be going in ahead. Like, I'm thinking chronologically. I mean, you don't do that, obviously. They haven't.
No.
But I just kind of think that way. But I would think if you want to grab, I don't want to say some headlines. Sable with Brock. I said that last year.
Yeah.
I thought Sable should be the chick that goes in. And who was the chick that went in last year?
I don't think a chick did.
I'm trying to think of... let me go back here see if I could...
WWE Hall of Fame.
2001 three. What? No, I don't want WWE Halloween costumes. Fuck off.
Yes, you do. I got actually, it here. I got it. I'm on the wiki. Okay, last year we had is this right?
I'm on WWE.com here, so
that might be better. Because as I'm looking at this, it's only listing up to 2012.
Oh, Trish Stratus went in.
Last year? Oh, that's right. Yeah, she was the chick. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
So Lita could go in this year.
Lita, I still think Sable.
Sable, sure.
Would be a good one.
Yeah.
I forgot Donald Trump went in last year, too.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
But I'm trying to look at where was I going with this? The headlines. Underneath Nash, someone that could be used to garner a little bit of publicity for them. I mean, in terms of the wrestling fans, or to at least get some people talking about it, could put Owen in.
Never.
No, I'm just saying.
I mean, I want it. Don't get me wrong. I just don't see it happening. And should he go in before the British Bulldogs? And could you put Dynamite Kid in individually?
You could, but I don't see why you would. If you're going to do one, you might as well do the other.
Well, of the two of them, though, the Dynamite Kid is more deserving to go in.
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. No, I mean, points can be made for both. And I think you said in terms of the WWE, who's the more famous of the two?
Who's the more important and influential of the two?
Exactly. No, that's true. It's true. I mean, Dynamite Kid opened up a whole new style and a whole new generation of wrestlers that would go on to kill their families. With David Boy Smith.
I love that we're watching NXT, and what was it they called? Davey Richards?
What was his name? Fuck, what was his name?
Like Bill, or...
Billington, something Billington.
It was like Dynamite Kid's
real name. John Billington or something.
Yeah. Dynamite Kid's real name, of course, is like Tom Billington. So, yeah, it was like Darren Billington or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that's right.
David Billington or something. I thought that was pretty funny.
Davy Boy Billington.
It might have been, actually.
Yeah, it was funny. I remember that. Yeah, Billington. That was funny.
And I didn't catch on to it at first. You kind of looked at me and went, ah, ah. You had that look.
Jerry's like, name? Jerry's name? Like what?
Like one of, yeah, like one of the Muppets when they're, like a Fozzie Bear. When
Waka, like, waka.
It's like, did you hear what they called him? Billington. I was like, oh, fuck. All right. Anyways. Wyatt family, Daniel Bryan, go.
Yes. Daniel Bryan, you know what I liked about this segment? A couple of things. He had some good matches with the big guys again. Took some time. Like, when they had like a half an hour to go, and I was like, holy fuck, they're going to do this. They made it important. They played the videos.
Luke Harper. Hmm? I mean, Eric Rowan is all right for his role. Mm-hmm. And Luke Harper's really good big man.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, they put the videos together throughout the show.
Yeah.
To hype the feud. To show what has been happening. They never had a match. Bray and Daniel Bryan, so I like that.
Yep.
You know? And again, it comes back to everything Daniel Bryan said was true.
Yeah.
When he cut that promo.
Yeah.
So it's like, I can understand what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, fuck it. Like, he Daniel Bryan, I understand before the match, in order to do, like, when he found out what the angle was, he did a lot of research. Like, he went up to Dolph Ziggler and Zack Ryder and said, like, I need to convincingly just give up. How did you guys do it?
It was really when they had Dolph Ziggler versus Curtis Axel, and both of them cut promos before
yes.
set. It really stood out. how much more charismatic and better promo Dolph Ziggler is than like everything that's wrong with Michael McGillicuddy with, you know.
Well, I understand that Daniel Bryan was trying to get advice from JTG, but he couldn't find him.
Well, of course not. He should have checked the parking lot. He was probably selling something from his car.
That's true. Crack. But I think...
That's why Jake Roberts was there, too.
That's right. Ruin my winning. But I think that everything Daniel Bryan said was true. You know, he did the Sister Abigail deal. It's like, this will change everything. Wyatt's super happy. Daniel Bryan did that little pause gimmick, you know, the wrestler pause where he looks out on the crowd and he
like,
starts
yeah,
to shake.
That was great. That was the best moment of all of it.
Yeah.
Where he's sitting there and he says, you know, I mean, Wyatt's like, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to beat the shit. Like after their match, you know, he beats both the members of the Wyatt clan, the tag team members there. And then he's going to finally face, Bray, and instead of having the match, he gets jumped by the other two, and the three of them just beat him down. And he takes the mic, and God, he's really learned how not to pause and give them a chance to do the what's. And he's such a good promo, Bray, there.
Singing, and yeah.
Yeah, like, he's I mean, he goes ahead, I mean, runners up, Paul Heyman, CM Punk, Bad Influence, Bully Ray,
yeah.
But promo of the year for me for 2013, Bray Wyatt. For me, like best promo of the years, and he was so good talking about I'm going to punish you. This you could have joined. This would have, you know. And Daniel Bryan, yeah, like you say, he takes the mic and goes, "You're right. No matter how much the people cheered, it didn't. And no matter how much I won, it didn't matter. I'm never going to get a shot, and I never got my shot. The machine. And so you know that's it. Where he asked to join the family, and Bray picks him up, and I love this, gives him the Sister Abigail.
Yes.
Like, to complete it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then says, this will change everything. This will change everything. Then they go up to the top of that ramp, and just as they go, and the crowd's just screaming, no, no, and then they go up to the top of the ramp, and he turns, and he looks at the crowd, and he's beaten, and he looks at them, and he starts to become aware of what's happening, and he starts to shake, and he starts to get the look of determination, like, fuck you guys. I'm not giving up. The crowd's with him.
Yeah.
And then he just hangs his head and walks out. Sold it. And then the great music hits. And so well performed. And here's what I love. Him losing all those times, we kept on going, why the fuck are they doing this? I don't know if they had this plan then or not.
No, they didn't.
Because it totally makes sense, though.
I don't think they have a long-term plan now.
It seems like his losing to Orton and the way he lost and seems like it played into this. Like character wise, it seems like it's being part of a long term storyline. Now
we
to go back, even
up,
if it isn't.
We fucked up Daniel Bryan so bad. What do we do now?
And that's the other thing. A lot of people are going, oh, he's turned heel. I'm like, no, he fucking hasn't. He joined the Wyatt family. He hasn't turned heel.
No.
This is designed to make him a more sympathetic character, to make you feel for him even more. This isn't designed to turn him heel. And eventually he's going to bust out, and when he does, he'll be hotter than ever.
How long do you do it for? How long does it run for?
Well, we're hearing Bray Wyatt, main event, WrestleMania, John Cena. That's the thing. And looking at this, I don't think... Like, you could actually easily do... Daniel Bryan and Shawn Michaels still. Because Shawn Michaels, like I say, I can't picture him being a baby or being a heel anyways. But he has been a heel in the promo. So from that perspective, and I had said to you at the time, and I still believe this, that I could see him being a referee spot. But I never saw him actually having a match.
See, I look at a couple of things with it. There's a couple of ways you could go. The machine won't let me down, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to fight the machine, son. Then you got to go after the machine.
Yeah.
And he's got to go after the big red man.
Babyface, wouldn't it?
I don't know. But he's also a guy that's had problems.
You heard the storyline at the backstage of how they decided. Remember how Kane came back from after being beat up by the Wyatt family, and all of a sudden he just joined the authority, Triple H?
Yes.
Did you hear the story about how that happened?
No, how did that happen?
Oh, okay. Well, then they're backstage, and then Triple H is there, and Stephanie are there, and Triple H is like, "What are we gonna do?" You know, like, he's like, "What do we do now? How do we get more heat on this authority?" And somebody said to him, "Well, do you want Kane?" And he thought they said, "Do you want a Kane?" And he thought, "Yeah, at my age, to get to the ring, that would be easier." And it was just a misunderstanding like that. See,
I see.
Yeah,
I see. Could happen to anyone.
So, anyways,
but I think that I mean, you're right, it could, but I mean, it also ties back into the fact that the Wyatts had a problem with Kane as well, right?
Yeah,
so, I mean, you have that because Vince is back on his thing.
And in fact, the Wyatts could easily turn babyface out of this. You could easily they're the rogue group that goes after the authority, the machine, the whatever.
Well, Vince is back on his thing, though, that there are no heels and there are no baby faces.
Good. I prefer that.
Yeah.
And so. You know, again, I mean, I love the idea. Bray Wyatt as Cena, based on his charisma and his performance and his character, it's pretty quick. But that shows a lot of confidence. Partially it's that they want to make stars, but also partially it's the confidence in him. And he's earned.
You're right.
But the problem is he's only had one singles match. It was shitty. And he's had, like, one tag team match, and he was good. Like, he hasn't wrestled hardly at all.
No. The thing is that... I thought you were talking about Cena.
No, but, talk about Bray. Like, that's the thing. We haven't seen enough of him in the ring.
The other part about it is plans. And they don't have the plans. Like, you're talking about Cena and Bray, right? I mean, there's so many wheels, and they haven't decided on it. Right now, the plan... let's say there is no plan, really, but right now they're working on some movable parts with the potential of Cena, Daniel Bryan, and Hulk Hogan against all three Wyatts.
Hmm.
Has been bantied about as that way, because you're going to get... I mean, it seems that Hogan and Cena are going to be linked somehow.
And you could do Bray and Bryan versus Hogan and... that would be interesting. So Hogan in there with Daniel Bryan. I mean, Daniel Bryan would love it, but Hogan would be like, who is this fucking little guy?
Yeah, but I think you want Luke Harper in there with Hogan.
Yeah, you're probably right, yeah.
The big guy that can protect him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's going to be the thing, and that's why I think that six man...
Well, Hogan wouldn't be in there for more than a few seconds.
That's why you do the six man.
Yeah. Right? And we still got the whole Triple H as himself against... somebody representing Vince thing, which still could be Batista too.
Well, that's kind of what I was wondering. Yeah. I'm thinking. But I mean, there's a Royal Rumble now, and you got the, you know what I mean? So
this is good though. I mean, we don't know, but I love the idea that joining the Wyatt family, if Cena got the belt, I mean, Cena could get the belt at the Royal Rumble from Orton.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what the best thing would be for me is Orton wins it. Orton's going to take on Batista at WrestleMania, and it's got huge momentum. And then a month out, he gets his third strike. That would be my favorite thing ever.
What?
Orton.
What about him?
If he was going to defend against Batista at WrestleMania, and the crowd was really into it, and then a month out, he got his third strike, I would laugh my ass off.
We haven't talked about this. We have not talked about this.
What?
The wellness policy.
Yeah, what about it?
If you go... 1 year without a strike, your strike is stricken and taken back.
Oh, so you go back to only one?
So, yes. So, or none, if you only had one.
That didn't used to be that way, because Orton went almost 2 years.
Yes,
without a strike.
Orton has no strikes.
What?
Orton has no strikes.
Just a year ago, he...
Yes.
And,
okay, Orton has one strike. Orton has one strike because that was his two a year ago.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's the new rule.
To think there was a point where we were talking about, like, if Jeff Hardy came back, if he'd come back with two strikes or not.
Yeah. Well, he would come back with two, but then he'd have to go a year and he'd have one, and he'd go another year, he'd have none. Then he could smoke as much crack as he wanted.
Holy fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Well, Orton could still get two strikes between now and then.
That's true. I have confidence in it.
That would be great. But anyways, okay. I mean, I like the idea also that Bray Wyatt takes on Cena for the title doesn't get it, but Daniel Bryan does. With while still in the group, and that could cause some interesting storyline. Like there's a lot, again, there's a lot of ways they could go. But the thing is, for me, I would love to see Bray versus Cena one-on-one at WrestleMania. And coming in 1 year off of taking on The Rock 2 years in a row, how big would that be for Bray Wyatt? And what great opportunity for him to go over and make him a star. If he beat John Cena at WrestleMania clean, I mean, that's it. You've made a major star. You've made a guy that could take on Undertaker for the streak the next year. You've made, you know, and it wouldn't hurt Cena at all.
No, no. They'd never do it in a million years, but I understand.
They're fucking idiots.
Huh. Yeah. But yeah, that's this thing. I guess go back to the Rumble just briefly. It looks like RVD will be back for the Rumble as well. Yeah. That's the other guy we neglected to mention. You know, he'll be a surprise guy in the Rumble, unless they just said. I still say you do the Royal Rumble report next week. I'd
love that too. That'd be great.
But me and Gene will be there, right? So get the old music.
Mae Young will not be there, unfortunately.
No,
her health is quite poor at this point. So
yeah, syphilis. I understand. But I don't know. Yeah, I mean. I think that the next, you know, 3 to 6 months will be exciting. We did get our friend the Bannibal sent us a question.
Oh, yeah?
Asking us, what are we looking forward to in 2014, and what are we not looking forward to in 2014?
Okay. Little heads up would be good. Why don't you go first, and I'm going to go get myself a drink, so that way I also don't have to listen to you, because odds are I won't. Or you can just sing, because I'll be right back.
Are you going to be right back?
After these messages.
Okay.
From your local.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following. Lord Alfred Hayes should actually go into the WWE Hall of Fame. He could be a... He could be a guy. That's interesting. It is Moe's gone because he didn't like talking about the Hall of Fame. So fuck him. He's gone. And talk a little bit more about this Hall of Fame that I think. As I said, I still think we put Sable in as the chick. I still think you put in Macho Man or Warrior as the headliner. I put the Bulldogs in as a team, and then maybe Lord Alfred Hayes goes into the Hall of Fame.
All I heard was Lord Alfred Hayes goes into the Hall of Fame, and I agree with that. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
All right, I'm back.
As soon as I said that, I went on a Hall of Fame rant while you were gone, just because I said promotional consideration paid for by the Hall.
I know. He should actually be in the Hall, though. No question. All right, so what are you looking forward to? Well, I spent a little time thinking about this since I didn't have any warning it was coming.
Yeah. Just I had that with your mom. But I think I'm looking forward to – I mean, the biggest thing I'm looking forward to the most is Hulk Hogan. Seeing Hulk Hogan back in WWE at WrestleMania and just in that lead up, I am looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker. I think that again the promos leading up to that and the payoff itself.
I like the idea of what Heyman can do 2 years in a row, taking him on as in the promos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2 years in a row controlling the guy who faces Undertaker.
Yeah, I like that too. Yeah. I mean, I just like I'm looking forward to the possibilities that are WrestleMania this year. I'm looking forward to seeing if what happens with the network.
I'm looking forward to the next 4 months. The next 4 months should be interesting. 5 months maybe.
I mean, here we are as we do this show, it's what the 5th, 4th of January. I don't even know what fucking day it is. 4th.
Saturday.
But this Wednesday, the 8th, is going to be the network announcement in Las Vegas.
Mm.
Right? The WWE will unveil all the details about the network.
I watched the UFC event where they, you know, the recent one here, the Anderson Silva pulling
who's
a Sid
not
Vegas.
As tough as Big E Langston, according to Jerry Lawler.
That's right. Anyways, they're talking, they introduced their network, and I'm sitting there watching it, going, you know what? I may want to see this. Like, I may want to order this. And then I thought, will I want this and WWE? Or will I have to choose one, or will I want both? Or will they cancel each other out? And I do wonder if there will be some of that.
You know what? I think it's different now. UFC's not the hot thing. I mean, WWE hasn't been the hot thing for years. But I think
I look at this, and it's not the fight cards, though. I don't mind seeing that, because it is going to be a lot of smaller fight cards. But then again, it used to be. I used to watch, say, the WEC when Zuffa and owned it, and yet it wasn't part of the UFC, and they gave me people I didn't know, but it was better fight cards and great action. Right. And it's going to be a chance to do that. But it's also little things like top 10 underdog fights as picked and hosted by, say, a Forrest Griffin. Like, stuff like that is like, oh, fuck, that'd be fun to watch. And that type of programming that makes me go, now, if I'm getting, like I say, will I get both, or will I decide to get neither? Or will I pick UFC over? It could happen. And if I'm thinking about it, even though I know it's not the hot thing, but if I'm thinking about it, perhaps some other people are as well.
There might be some people. I mean, I don't know. To me, there weren't a lot of big moments in UFC. To me, that resonate, like, that I would go back and
going
watch.
Back There's and watching the fights. Like, I can't go back and watch an old fight. Like, I can go back and watch an old wrestling match and enjoy it in the same way. Yeah. You know, the promos. But if they're presented, like I say, if they're presented in the right way, then perhaps I can.
Perhaps.
I love
perhaps.
What I'm saying is I love countdown shows.
Do you? Did you see Vintage this week?
You know what? I did not, because I'm not a big fan of vehicular moments in wrestling.
It is the top 10 vehicular moments in wrestling. The two-parter. This was just 10 through 6.
Yeah.
I got to tell you. I'll go through. Number 10, Milkamania.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with Austin berating Taz for not wearing an Austin shirt, which was hilarious. And he was doing the what thing before it took off, before the crowd all started doing it. It was pretty fun to watch. And then we had number 9 was the White Hummer. The whole skit of the White Hummer in WCW.
Oh, yes.
And they did matches, too. They did the Milkamania, then they did the Unforgiven after September 11th, where Kurt Angle won the title. And Don't You Fucking Touch Me, Karen Angle was there celebrating with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did the Hummer, and then they showed the Kevin Nash Macho Man Randy Savage match from the Great American Bash, I think 99. They showed the DX Express getting blown up by Austin. What else did they have on there? Oh, then they had the greatest thing ever. Goldberg and Sid. And Goldberg had Sid's rental car reduced to like a cube. And Sid coming out going, immediately upon looking at his car. Like, he walked out the door, turned his head, went, "No! Goldberg!" And he like stood on top of his car. He's like, "Why? Goldberg!" And then the next week, he thought he would fool Goldberg and do the same thing to Goldberg's car. But then Goldberg moved his car, and Sid's driver guy parked his car in that spot, and he got his car put into a cube again. And the end of the program, this is where his Nitro was going off the air. Sid raises his hand and goes, "Why? Why do these things keep happening to me?" Oh, fuck, was it funny. And this was a serious angle to promote their world title feud.
So
they're out of business.
Yeah, they're out of business. Huh? I don't see why. Filling me in. Now I don't have to watch that and probably won't. In fact, I deleted it.
You actually do need to see Sid yelling.
Okay. I might have to watch that. Pretty sure I actually deleted it from my DVR already, but oh, well, I can find it. All right, back to what you're looking forward to in 2014, I'll tell you one thing I'm looking forward to in 2014. I'm looking forward to, because I do believe it's going to happen, and I've always been I'm curious about Lucha, but I don't follow it tightly because I don't speak Spanish. And there's been stations which have carried the product before, and I've tried to watch and still enjoyed it somewhat, but it's been confusing for me, but AAA America is likely going to happen this year. Presented, it'll be a Lucha product presented for somebody like me. Robert Rodriguez apparently is going to be one of the money men behind it. And of course, he's the director of Sin City and Spy Kids and movies like that. Yeah,
I thought he was. I thought he was Alberto Del Rio's personal ring announcer.
No.
Oh.
So, and of course, Conan will be booking it. Conan is an extremely bright guy. He's high, but he's an extremely bright guy.
Oh, I thought you said he's bright and high.
And I'm really looking forward to that, actually, to seeing that and seeing if that can provide another alternative, occasional alternative they'll need, especially if TNA goes out of business this year.
You know what? I went back in.
And Jeff Jarrett's talking about starting his own company, too, here. Probably that's why he's already called us. Like today, he's called us another 8 times.
Has he called us another 8 times? Yeah. Jesus Christ. I hate Jeff Jarrett.
We all do.
But yeah, I guess that AJ Styles booking peels off of the fact that with Double J gone, AJ kind of saw the writing on the wall and was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess he was closer to Double J than. Than a lot of people knew in terms of his career. And I said ROH is going to be the Nashville Fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. So there could be a Jeff Jarrett sighting.
It's possible. I mean, I assume that Jeff Jarrett would have some sort of non-compete. Perhaps he doesn't. I don't know. But, it'd be nice to see ROH actually gain some national momentum this year, but we've talked about that many times. So I can't sit there and say, I'm looking forward to ROH gaining national momentum. Because, ROH has been unable to gain national momentum in the past. So it's hard to, look forward to it this year. Just because. And, well, I'd look forward to ROH successfully competing in iPay-per-view. But, you don't look forward to things that seem impossible.
Well, you're talking about AAA, and I think that's kind of where I was looking at, is like, what's the difference going to be between AAA and ROH? Not much.
Well, it could be. But again, for one thing, it might just get a little momentum because there is a large Spanish-speaking population in the United States who might be actually into this.
There is that.
It might get more publicity because it's new and fresh. I think having a money man behind it, Robert Rodriguez is probably good for it. Again, I don't know that it will be, but I just know I'm not looking for it to become number two it could become number two if the current number two goes away, but I'm not looking forward to competing with WWE. I'm just looking forward to a possible to learning more about Lucha, watching more about Lucha, familiarizing myself with it more, and to having an alternative again.
I think you can if you've got a big money guy like Robert Rodriguez or say like an energy company or like a television broadcaster. You can really do some big things.
The difference is that he will actually get mainstream press, whereas Sinclair Broadcasting only doesn't get any press.
I think the only way that they get mainstream press, or the only reason that they get mainstream press, isn't about a guy that I've never heard of. It's about a guy
I've heard of.
Just like a lot of people heard of Floyd Money Mayweather, and that did monster business for wrestling, didn't it? But I think that part of it is... But I think the big thing that they've got going for them in terms of publicity is going to be their location. Right, they're coming out of California, are they not?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
So, I mean, they're going to be right in that Los Angeles, Hollywood area, right, where the television execs are and the people, the celebrities are and things like that. And, again, if you do have a guy that nobody's heard of that's a director that's done some movies.
A lot of people have heard of.
He can have some, he can have some connections, not just to Alberto Del Rio, but to some other people that have maybe been in what movies was he do?
Sin City, Spy Kids, Grindhouse.
Oh, Spy Planet Kids. Okay, Terror. So we can have the Spy Kids. Who?
Planet Terror. There's some Grindhouse. Him and Robert. Him and Quentin Tarantino are best friends. Yeah.
Planet Hair?
Terror.
All right. Yeah.
Desperado, El Mariachi.
Uh-huh. And these are movies people have heard of.
Uh-huh. What was his last one there? Machete.
Machete?
Machete.
Yeah.
Wasn't
he one of the
Once Upon a Time in Mexico with Johnny Depp?
Machete? Wasn't he one of the No Limit soldiers?
With Johnny Depp?
I don't think Johnny Depp was one of the No Limit soldiers. So maybe that's it. Master P can come on to this AAA.
That could finally turn it around.
Well, because then Conan was a No Limit soldier as well. That's probably how they met. So he was through Machete. This all makes sense. See, now you're making sense now. But yes, the Mexican.
I'm reading you let me see. Desperado, The Faculty, From Dusk Till Dawn, Spy Kids, Once a Time in Mexico, Sin City, The Adventures of Shark Boy and Lava Girl 3D. Machete. Did you hear what I said? You didn't say anything.
Sorry, I'd like to go let my dog out.
Because I said The Adventures of Shark Boy and Lava Girl 3D, and you didn't say anything.
There you go. See, so there's your new champion, Shark Boy.
Money, it's money.
Oh my God! Yeah. So, AAA Mexico will exist, and again, being in Los Angeles and being Mexican. There might be some Mexicans that'll watch. What are they going to be on TV?
I don't know exactly. I mean, it's going to happen this year, but it's not, announced yet, right?
Oh, yeah. So I'm looking forward to – what am I not looking forward to? Actually, no, it is what I am looking forward to not happening is AAA America.
I believe it will happen. It could not. It's not guaranteed, but I believe it will.
What am I not looking forward to? The Miz's continued existence.
I'm not looking forward to that period right after between SummerSlam and the Royal Rumble next year because we know it's going to be death because it has been every year.
Every year, yeah. No, that's it exactly. I'm definitely not looking forward to that period that 4 month period where they have 6 pay per views. Or 6 events, I guess. And you know what? Maybe I what I'm not looking forward to is what I am looking forward to, I should say, is not having to buy pay-per-views.
Well, again, right now we'll see when it comes to Canada, the network. But yeah, I mean, I imagine it'll probably be the easiest way for you and I to get it when it does come. Still watching our TV should be through the Xbox.
Yeah, or my PlayStation 4.
Or your PlayStation 4. There you go. Did you get one for Christmas?
I did.
Oh, yeah.
I did.
Yeah. I'm getting
the second favorite gift.
Oh, I'm getting the Xbox One. So, either way.
But now I have Netflix, too.
Oh, finally. Good.
I was watching the Heart anthology.
Yeah, yeah.
Before the show.
Yeah, I know. The Netflix is good for that stuff. And, are you on Netflix America or Netflix Canada?
I'm still on Canada because, I haven't watched it all yet. And then once I watch everything I want to watch, then I'll switch it over to the American one.
It's actually interesting. In the Canada one has a lot of UFC shit, whereas there's very little UFC shit on the American one. But in general, the American one has, 10 times as many actual,
Yeah, stuff, right? Stuff, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But anyways.
But I think, there isn't a lot that I'm not looking forward to be quite honest. I really am looking forward to, to WWE.
I'm not looking forward to Jeff Jarrett's next promotion.
Yeah, but we're talking about 2014.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to Jeff Jarrett's next promotion.
That's not happening this year.
Let's see.
That's not happening just like AAA America's not
AAA
happening.
America, though, will happen because they've laid the groundwork. They're pretty close to being ready to go.
Yeah.
And they make money in the Mexico.
In the Mexico.
they make money in the Mexico.
Really?
What's going to happen at the Mexico?
You know what they make, though? The problem is that they make peso. Mexican money. Yeah. So there's your problem.
But they do turn a profit there, and they do have some money, people. It will happen, and probably not too far down the road.
Yeah. But I think, I'm trying to think of what else, what else? What is there to not look forward to? I guess that's the thing. Like I'm not looking forward to anything Bad News Barrett does. You know, I'm not looking forward to the Miz's existence. I'm not looking forward to Triple H squashing an up and coming talent.
So basically, what you're saying is you're not looking forward to 50-50 booking. So largely, what you're not looking forward to. I'm not looking forward to that moment where they have a guy where they can make money with, and it's right there, and it's easy, yeah. And they fuck it up. But these are the things I've not looked forward to for a long time.
I am not looking forward to the pedigree on Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
That's coming.
I'm sure it is.
That's coming in 2014. I can almost, I can see it.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's coming in 2014.
And so I'm not looking forward to that. I'm not looking forward to the WWE's DVD about their music.
Actually, I am looking forward to that. I'm not looking forward to the possibility that pretty soon CM Punk is going to retire before John Cena. I could see it. I mean, I don't think he's going to go much longer. So I'm not looking forward to the idea that 2014 is nearing the end of CM Punk's career.
Yeah. That's true. That could very well be true. But, I mean, how many times do we see that about
Booker?
How many times did Booker T say that? Yeah.
He's the guy I think of, too.
Yeah. I am looking forward to WCW's Greatest Matches Volume 1 on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to
do
that.
Do you have a match listing?
No.
Okay.
I could probably get one.
Yeah, take a look. I'm actually curious about that. Because I'm sure their greatest match listing and my greatest match listing would be vastly different. Nevertheless, it'd still be a great collection. Because there's a lot of great matches. I mean, for a while there, without question, there was more great match actually for a long time. I mean, basically from 1985 to about 1998, there was more great matches in WCW than WWF. I mean, a lot of other ways they weren't as good, but they had more great matches.
Yeah.
And more emphasis on the matches, obviously.
Well, yeah, I was going to say there's more emphasis on the matches. Here we go, listings.
All right. Well, do you want me to sing while you're doing it?
Oh, I'm just...
Because we don't want dead air.
Bringing her up right now.
I said dead air, not dead hair.
Really?
Yeah, we don't want dead air. I am looking forward to... You know what I'm looking forward to? Well, here's something. I'm not looking forward to some of the people they'll cut, because I know they'll cut some talented people. But I am looking forward to the WWE main roster debut of Sami Zayn. And I'm looking forward to the WWE main roster debut of Pac.
Adrian Neville.
Possibly. I could see him taking another year. I'm not sure he'll happen in 2014. But I believe both Pac and especially Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn for sure. Bo Dallas, I don't know. But those other two for sure, or especially Sami Zayn. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how Sami Zayn does under the WWE main roster. I think we'll see him likely. I mean, last year we saw them try with Bo Dallas around Royal Rumble. So maybe they'll do that, something like that again, just before WrestleMania. But more likely we'll see. Hard to believe that he was feuding with the Bad News Barrett for the IC belt there, right before WrestleMania last year.
Yeah, I know, right?
For both of them. But, yeah, I am looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the face turn for Antonio Cesaro.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's WCW Greatest Pay Per View Matches Volume 1.
Okay, that's fine. But there is no match list. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the face turn of Antonio Cesaro for sure.
Yes, I am as well. I'm looking forward to. You
have that look, like
yeah, we own my dog back in. So tell us what else.
Oh, you freaking prick. No pressure. Come up with something on the spot. Like I think I've said everything is the goddamn problem. I'm looking forward to. Well, I am looking forward to who are these surprise entrances in the Royal Rumble. You know, one of the things is I'm not looking forward to the Hulk Hogan return like you are, because I looked forward to his return in TNA, And I saw that and went, now I know it's TNA. I know TNA obviously doesn't compare to WWE at all. But still, having seen how Hulk Hogan was in TNA and knowing that I will look forward to, like, I'll be excited the moment before it happens, but at this point I'm not looking forward to Hulk Hogan in WWE just because I think ultimately it will disappoint. Almost impossible not to disappoint because he's so broke down. So I'm not looking forward to you.
How do you not look forward to Hulk Hogan? Because he's broke down,
right?
So what?
Right before it happens, I'm going to be excited. I'm going to be like, fuck it, it's Hulk Hogan. He's back where he should be. And then it'll happen, and every single time Hulk Hogan's come back to the WWE, it doesn't last long, and it doesn't really turn out that good. And
All that I'm looking forward to, Hulk Hogan comes back at WrestleMania. Yeah, Ray said right before it's going to be great. He's right back where he's supposed to be
like
at some point in the match.
He's back and the crowd reaction will be crazy. Like, I look forward to that. But as a general thing, do I think it'll be successful?
All it needs is one. I mean, I'm looking forward to him at WrestleMania.
Right? How about him back at WrestleMania? How do you think of the idea of him at WrestleMania, Ric Flair just one time?
Well, yeah. But what's been pitched by Piper is Piper and Hogan on opposite sides of...
with Rampage Jackson and...
with Rampage Jackson and...
I have to say Chris Masters, probably. He'll probably be the best fit.
Best Paul Orndorff fit,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's what... basically against two current guys is what Piper has pitched to play off the first Mania.
Yeah,
but
that'd be crazy. I'd be interested in that. Just for the promos. I can picture right now the Rampage Jackson... And there's no reason Rampage Jackson couldn't do it. I don't think his stuff with TNA means anything. I could see the Rampage Jackson Piper promo right now. It'd be great.
Oh yeah, yeah. It would. Yeah. Yes, it would.
Especially,
isn't it great?
Especially if he goes where he told Chael Sonnen to go.
Oh yeah, but in his ass. Speaking of guys that carry around chains.
In my ass.
Speaking of guys that carry around chains, sad to announce the passing of James Avery.
Yeah, me too. Of course, from Fresh Prince and Fresh of Bel Air. Nevertheless, you didn't give us the match listings.
Let's say most people know him as Uncle Phil, Fresh Prince of Bel Air. Also, the voice of the Junkyard Dog. And Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling,
yeah,
the cartoon.
There you go.
See, there's the wrestling tie-in. And guys that wear chains, like Rampage Jackson. There is no match listings yet. That's why I didn't do it. It doesn't come out till March. It's just on the docket now, just announced.
Okay.
So.
Do you have any more? Like, we came up with a few ideas for DVDs a few years ago. Do you have any new ones that you've thought of that you'd like to see?
No. You?
Probably. If I spent time.
Good question. We do have a question that I can announce. But on
the 2000... WWE.com, the 20 greatest WCW matches of all time. We ever go through this?
Yeah. No. I don't think so. We went through their top superstars of all time.
Top number 20. Sting vs. DDP Nitro.
Okay.
Number 19.
That's the one that DDP told us, and that Sting thought we had to go home, but then they told him to go 5 more minutes, and so DDP kept chopping him, and Sting was getting really hot, okay, and he didn't know.
Yeah,
and he grabbed him. He said 5 more minutes, and he was cool after that.
That's right. He told us that personally. Dean Malenko versus Eddie Guerrero at Uncensored is number 19.
Okay, I'm sure that one was awesome.
Big Van Vader versus Cactus Jack from Halloween Havoc 93.
Yeah, I'm sure that was awesome.
Next, we have 3 Count versus the Young Dragons at New Blood Rising. Definitely the highlight of that pay-per-view because it also had Tank Abbott.
I believe the highlight of that pay-per-view was the Canadian rules read by referee Jacques Rougeau.
DDP,
Judy Bagwell on a forklift match.
DDP versus Savage. DDP makes his second appearance at Spring Stampede 97.
Yes, that was awesome.
That was awesome.
That was.
You may not know, but that one up. PWI Feud of the Year.
I was just about to say, PWI Feud of the Year.
1997. As he told us. Cactus Jack and Max. That's right. Cactus Jack and Max Payne versus the Nasty Boys in Spring Stampede 1994. You know,
Philadelphia with, I believe, one of the Broad Street Bullies as the special guest referee.
They really.
That match was awesome.
I don't know about that.
Was. I remember it. No, I do. I can remember that match to this day.
So can I. I don't think it was awesome.
That was awesome.
I disagree on that match. All right. Highly disagree. Rey Mysterio versus Dean Malenko, Great American Bash 96.
See, I don't think that should have been ahead of a Max Payne match.
I love that this is 20 greatest matches of all time. Every single match from the 90s so far. Whereas they have these classics. And anyways.
No, WCW didn't. The NWA did.
Well, that's true, I suppose, if you want to look at it that way. So actually, looking at that, you're probably right. Okay, so Ric Flair versus Hulk Hogan at the Bash of the Beach 94. And that match was a half a star match. That was an awful match.
It was. Historically. Historic, but yeah, but if they're doing match quality, then yeah, no way in hell.
Now, this match was awesome. Steiner Brothers versus Sting and Lex Luger, Super Brawl 91.
Super Brawl 2,
Awesome match.
That was. That's probably the best match Lex Luger's been in.
I think that probably is Lex Luger's best match. Yeah, I think so. Steamboat versus Rude at the Beach Blast 92. I think that's the 30-minute Iron Man.
Or Iron Man match. 30-minute Iron Man match. That's right.
Yeah, that's an awesome match.
I wonder if Cactus Jack versus Sting from that same card will make this.
Yeah, that was another great match. That was a great event. Brian Pillman versus Jushin Thunder Liger, Super Brawl 2.
Super Brawl 2 as well.
Yeah, another great match. From just an awesome event. Here's another great one. Stunning Steve Austin versus Ricky Steamboat, Bash the Beach 94.
Oh, yes. That was the match. That Flair. Isn't it funny how when you talk about big events in Hulk Hogan's career, that underneath two of his biggest match, probably his biggest match in WCW, his debut match in WCW, and his biggest match in WWE, that underneath Ricky Steamboat stole the show?
On both of them, yeah.
On both of them,
WrestleMania 3, obviously, with Savage.
Yeah, WrestleMania 3.
Yeah. So Sting Squadron versus Dangerous Alliance of the Russell War 2 slinks in at number 8.
The War Games, or that's the Thunderdome cage?
That's the War Games.
Is it?
Yeah, that's the War Games match. I think. Let me just double check.
I think that's Thunderdome.
Dangerous Alliance. Had a chance to leave the Dangerous Alliance. Sorry, but let's go on a brutal War Games match.
War Games, okay. Oh, yes, because then after they kick Zabisco out.
That's right. So number 7, Ric Flair versus Big Van Vader, Starrcade 93. Fuck, that was a great match.
Oh, my God, that was awesome.
Just a great match. It was for Sting. It was for Flair's career. Back when that stip meant something still. Rey Mysterio versus Ultimo Dragon of World War III, 96.
Okay.
Wicked match. Of course, all their matches were wicked. Sting versus Ric Flair, Clash of the Champions.
The 88 one?
No, I don't think so. It says Clash of the Champions, this is like 27. I think this is in 1994.
I was going to say, is this to unify the big gold belt and the WCW title? So Flair could be the unified champion going into fighting Hogan.
Yeah, so I think so, because that other one would, I think, technically be when they were in NWA.
Right. Yeah, that's true. There you go.
Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero in Halloween Havoc 97. Oh, I'm surprised this isn't number 1.
Should be number 1. Yeah,
I'm very surprised that didn't make
it. I'm really interested. What number is this?
Number 4.
Okay, I'm interested in the next 3 now.
Yeah, what could top that?
Because they're going to put Sting and Hogan in there, probably, right?
Oh, I doubt that.
Given this list, they will.
Maybe. No, not that high. But the thing is, that's a 5-star match in the Wrestling Observer match of the year and all that. Like, that match is,
I think,
the greatest match. And again, very famous for literally seconds before they go out there changing the winner.
Yeah, that's right.
Because Ray was supposed to lose his mask in that one and didn't. Was a great match. I don't know if I'd have it this high. In fact, I don't know if I'd have it in the top 20, but it was a great match. Goldberg versus DDP at Halloween Havoc 98.
98, when they went off the air, yeah.
Yeah, I don't...
That's Goldberg's best match.
I think it's his second best match. I think his match against, believe it or not, Scott Steiner is his best match. They had an awesome match. And I actually would have that in there instead. Sting versus Ric Flair, Great American Bash 1990. And what's number one?
Sting and Hogan.
No. Ric Flair Hollywood versus Ricky Steamboat in 1989. Oh. So I guess that does count then, because that's the Chi-Town Rumble.
Yeah, I would have thought that would be an NWA match.
Is that the Chi-Town Rumble? It says 1989. I think they're just talking about all of them.
Or are they talking about
the 94
match? They're
talking about the trilogy. They're giving it as a trilogy.
Okay, the last match happened in 94.
That was a wicked match.
Yeah.
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 But they're talking about the trilogy in 89.
Okay. I'm trying to think of what they left out that I, you know, if there was any, you know, like Dean Malenko, Chris Jericho match.
Well,
or,
there's a lot of great tag team matches they left out. A lot of stuff with the Rock and Roll Express and the Midnight Express and,
Again, WCW, though.
Yeah.
If you're going to go to Hollywood Blondes against the Horsemen.
Yeah.
Flair and Anderson there. Just the, even the, what do you call them? You know, Steiner Brothers against, like, a Harlem Heat.
Or, yeah, Steiner Brothers versus the Miracle Violence connection of Terry Bam Bam Gordy and Dr. Dest Williams.
In 92, yeah, that's right.
You know, but yeah, I mean, if we're talking about Flair versus Steamboat in 89, then you can talk Midnights versus Rockers there. Rock and Roll Express. So,
well, yeah, but they're talking the trilogy. I don't know.
Anyway. And Anderson and Blanchard had some great matches against people like Steamboat and Dustin Rhodes, Goldust, and, you know.
No.
What's that?
No. Tully wasn't around then.
Oh, who was it that they took on?
Steamboat. It was Steamboat and maybe Bobby Eaton.
Was it Shane Douglas?
Was Shane Douglas, it was the Hollywood Blondes against Shane Douglas and Ricky Steamboat.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, in the cage where, yeah, and they had a whole bunch of great matches. And they also had, because the Hollywood Blondes formed because originally it was Dangerous Alliance, where it was, I believe, Barry Windham and Steve Austin that were a team. And, it was Wyndham and Flying Brian that were a team. And then Wyndham got hurt and brought in Austin to take his place.
That's right.
And that's when the Hollywood Blondes formed. But you had Arn Anderson and Bobby Eaton, and you had Dustin and Ricky Steamboat at that point as
another
well.
Another great match, Ron Simmons versus Vader was another great match.
Yeah. Vader and Sting from the finals of the King of Cable tournament.
That was awesome.
It was great. Yeah. Sting and Rick Rude had some matches.
For sure. They had a lot of. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good shit there.
There's a lot of good shit. We're running short on some time. I wanted to bring out, because I wanted to do that, but we got into this WCW list, but into what we're looking forward to in 2014, I just want to leave you with something to look forward to in 2014. My New Year's resolution.
Oh, this is big. Oh, yeah.
Addie's New Year's resolution. And last year, I said, it's you try to grow
as a person. Tully and Arn won the championship of being the Rock and Roll Express.
There you go.
But that was
before being the Brainbusters. Yeah, it was before being the Brainbusters. Yeah. Because, Tully Blanchard never was in WCW.
No, that's right. when he was a preacher. He came back on that one Legends match. That he did in 1995.
Slamboree 93, a Legends reunion.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Yeah. That's right, when they did all the matches in black and white. By the way, did you see my shirt?
No. Is that Andre?
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, all right. Let's get to your New Year's resolution. The big, that's, I'm
My
curious.
New Year's resolution.
Because like let's just go back here. 2013. Well, I did not think you could do it. I know there was one or two occasions where you almost slipped.
Yes.
And were willpower. An asshole.
It's willpower. But what I look at in 2013, when you look at a greater part of a New Year's resolution is you're really trying to grow as a human being. Mm-hmm. And
it was
really
the cards and letters, right?
Well, and in 2013, I had vowed, I thought I was getting a little bit on the rambunctious side, so I had vowed to, in 2013 to not become an asshole.
And, no longer like be said, an asshole for her.
No longer be an asshole.
Yeah.
And with, like you said, the support, the cards, the letters, getting me through the tough times, the darkest hours, always
remember
darkest.
Time, that one time on the show where you almost said something mean to me and
I know.
And were an asshole?
That was the post-Extreme Rules show, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I was feeling extreme. And, I remember. I almost slipped.
Yeah.
But, it was always darkest before the dawn. Here we are at the dawn, 2014, a brand new year. As I said, I want to grow and expand my horizons. So I've decided that in 2014, my New Year's resolution is to once again become an asshole.
Done.
And I am looking forward to the cards, letters, support,
I'm going to spend 2014 trying not to be an asshole.
Do you have food in your mouth, you fat fuck?
Done.
That's the good news. I'm good news, Barrett. And you're going to try to not become an asshole?
Yeah. What do you think?
I don't know. See, the fact is that your asshole is so large from... going down to the prison for those conjugal visits, that I don't know if it's going to be possible for you to not become one.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Should we read our next question?
Okay, let's read our question.
Okay, this question...
Let's get the tweet question done first, because I'm sure it's quicker, right? You said there's a tweet question?
Well, yeah, but we're running out of time.
We still got to another 40 minutes, don't we?
Just to get warmed up. We do. Okay, so let's read the tweet question, and that's from our friend Stephen Asiami.
Yeah. Hey, contact me, Asiami, if you figured out how to record stuff on Skype or whatever and still want to do that project we talked about. Anyways.
Mm-hmm. No porn. He's listening to the We Talk Wrestling podcast and hearing about the
Punk Cena
match. You don't
think there's money in fat and skinny guy porn?
No. I do, just not with you. About the Punk Cena match in February. We're talking about the Punk Cena match, and it was one of our best matches of the year.
Best.
So he wants to know what we think about the rivalry in the big picture, the Cena Punk rivalry. What do we think about it overall? Where does it fit in historically? What do we think about it totally?
That's a good question. I don't think you would put it in the top rivalries of all time within the WWE, simply because it never had the heat or the drama to draw to the level where it should, just because of the nature of the business right now. I think the nature of the business in their era, when they're kind of a top, kind of, to me, yeah, that holds it back.
Good point.
That said, I think there's an argument could be made that right now you could say that CM Punk is seen as second best opponent behind Edge now.
Yeah, but I don't see it as a rivalry. I just don't see it as.
You hear
this.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who let the dogs out?
Woof, woof, woof.
As I said, I don't see this as a rubber.
Shut your mouth! I love my dog.
Huh? Oh, that was your dog.
Come here, Leia.
Leia. But I... name is Prince. Okay, well, here, quick. I know, speaking of dogs, I let mine in. Let's talk about this rivalry to you. What do you think about it in terms of... I don't think it ever took on the longevity in terms of... They've had matches, but I don't think of them as rivals. I don't think that they've really had much of a feud.
Well, they certainly haven't had a blood feud. I mean, I'll go with that. They have definitely not had a blood feud. But they have had... Rivalry is different. Like, you know, and you've seen it many times. Like, those guys who, they just face each other. They just keep on coming back to each other. And, I mean, Cena and Orton, I guess, is another one that you could say. And I'd probably... Ooh, actually, I don't know if I'd put... I'm not sure, actually, if I would put CM Punk ahead of Orton as far as a John Cena rivalry. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's just some guys, they end up just kind of bumping into each other time after time after time. And so, yeah, it just becomes, like Rey Mysterio and Chris Jericho, for instance, you know, more of a rivalry than a feud. Certainly not a blood feud, but there's a difference. Yeah, you're right. There is a strong difference. A strong difference between a blood feud and a rivalry. It means a different thing. A rivalry is two guys who consistently are competing each other over the course of several years at top. A feud is two guys who hate each other, either for a short period or a long period, and want to kill each other. And they haven't had that, but they've had a rivalry. Again, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels is more of a rivalry. You know, Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat is a rivalry. You know, Ric Flair and Terry Funk was a feud.
Yeah, but I also think that, well, I think Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart was a feud.
Well, sort of.
And, yeah. 1997, that was a feud. I mean, it started off as two...
It was certainly a rivalry for a long time.
Yeah, oh, sure, but it became a feud. And I don't think that CM Punk said... I mean, in terms of a rivalry, again, I just look at...
That's one thing. When's the last time you can think of a real feud in the WWE? It's one of the things that's changed. You get...
Well, I mean, I think of Cena and Rock as a feud.
I definitely think of that as a rivalry because, I mean, the second time around, they're going, you know, you're great, and I mean, I'll compete against you, but boy, you're a terrific guy. Whereas I think Brock Lesnar and Triple H was a feud.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, things like that. But I look at the Punk-Cena rivalry just happens to be the number one guy against the number two guy in the company for a couple of years.
Well, like I said, I guess you had let the dog out, saying I'm not sure I would put him actually ahead of Orton if you're talking rivalry for Cena.
Well, that's a feud, again.
Well, I mean, it's been so many times over the years.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, I mean, Punk, big picture, yeah, I think it's probably seen as, yeah, probably third biggest rival. When you talk about Orton, you talk about Edge.
I think another reason why, I mean, you have to put Orton ahead of him, maybe Edge to some degree too, but certainly Orton. One of the reasons why it's not as big of rivalry as probably it could be is because for the longest time, CM Punk, the crowd was ready for him to be at the level of John Cena, but the company wasn't. The people behind the scenes didn't think he was. So therefore,
right.
You know, that's another thing that probably has kept it from being.
Yeah. I mean, it's, but that's, to me, that's what it is it's a neat little rivalry, but it's a footnote in history, I think.
All right, well, that's a good question. It won't go down. Like, I can't picture a DVD, put it that way. I can't picture a Greatest Rivalries DVD. Are they doing another one of those? I think they felt the sales for that one were a little disappointing for Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels, but boy, I'd like
to see that one. Yeah. Well, they also don't have Jim Ross to sit down anymore, so it'd be Michael Cole fucking sitting down with, like.
It could be somebody else. You see, Matt Stryker got a role in the next Star Trek film as a Romulan commander. That's great for him. Yeah, he's gonna be great in that.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a fairly major role as a Romulan commander in the next film. And he's, when you look at him, you go, yeah, I could picture him with Spock ears and one of those tunics and looking totally like a Romulan.
The problem with it is that as soon as they start filming and the screen comes on and he's like a Romulan commander working the helm or whatever, as soon as the screen comes on, he's going to be like, it's Captain Kirk. I'm marking out, man. And then they're just going to fire him.
That's probably true. anyways, what was I saying?
Last question.
Yeah, I mean,
last.
I'm just okay. Last question, but just any other? Like, I want to see. I want to see another. I would love to see them do. Like I said, I'd love to see a Flare. If they could do a Flare Steamboat DVD like that, that's what I'd like to see. That's the next one.
That would be good. That would be good. I'd like to see, like, a Flare, like, reality show where he goes to bars.
Okay, on the that's network. That on the network. I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
But Flare Dusty, I could also see that as like a Greatest Rivalries DVD. All right, let's move on to our next question because this was a really good question. This was sent to us by one of my all-time favorite work names. I guess Derek Double Dick. Right.
I don't know. It's just Derek
Double Dick. It said Derek Double Dick. Because everybody sends us, if you send us questions, you have to send us work names. So it's Derek Double Deck, okay. And he should probably get that taken care of.
Why? All right. His question says, Dear Addy and Mo, I guess.
Fuck you.
I'm just reading it. I was hoping you'd talk a little about the ECW revival that took place in 2006. What were my memories of it, and why did it fail, if we do believe, in fact, it was a failure? Yes. Yes, we do.
Hey, don't put words in my mouth. I said, don't put words in my mouth.
Well, I have to. I can't get anything in your mouth. You've got all that food there.
Anyways, but it's true that I... Yeah, eat that's a lot. That is what I think. Oh, and that I eat a lot, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's start with the first part. What were our memories of it?
That's my doorman!
No, that was the pay-per-view.
Yeah, well, still, that's my memory of it.
That's true. That's my doorman! That was great.
What is my...
I remember the kickoff to it. If Cena wins, we riot.
Yeah.
Angle's going to kill you. They're chanting. I mean, this is Kurt Angle against Randy Orton on an ECW pay-per-view, and they're chanting, Angle's going to kill you.
It's the when they went back to the Hammerstein Ballroom for an actual ECW taping.
Yeah.
And the main event was Batista versus Big Show, which was WWE through the core. And that's not what that crowd wanted. And the crowd had hijacked the entire show. And by the end, they were chanting when these two, I mean, there's a lot of profanity from the crowd and everything. And it was so much fun to watch and a great energy. But WWE, instead of embracing it, understanding it for what it was, never went back there. And the great chant was, change the channel. During the Dave Batista Big Show match.
Yes, and that was again. When
Big Show was the ECW champ at the time.
Yes, because Paul Heyman again went back and got Big Show and tried to recreate his 2004 magic with him, or 2003 magic with him. And you had, RVD and Sabu getting, in trouble.
I mean, there was a lot of memorable, even though it wasn't around long, there was a lot of memorable moments in that little thing. The Bob Holly versus RVD match.
Sliced
open in the back. Ric Flair in the thumbtacks against Big Show.
And Mick Foley.
No question that the zombie, Sandman and the zombie and even Big Dick Johnson was memorable. The debut of CM Punk and how the crowd took to him, but just the debut vignettes and like I say, the crowd just loving that guy right from the beginning, even though he wasn't ECW. The vignettes leading up to the babyface debut of of Shannon Moore as the reject, and the crowd, him coming out and getting booed, and him not knowing how to react to it and ruining his push the same day because Vince got pissed at him. You know, and that was after he had come back.
The Count, Montez Corvon.
Yeah. Speaking of TNA, I was going to say that's when Shannon Moore came back from TNA. You know, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of, there was definitely, I mean, Kelly's debut, you know, taking off the clothes, saying I'm only 19. And like, they're doing this angle where she's taking off the clothes. They didn't even find out how young she was until they're just about to do it, to like seconds before she's going on the air. And it's too late for her to be, stop being the exhibitionist character. And then, but at that point they had double, you know, they had second thoughts, but then it got over the crowd. So they decided to go forward. So they're trying to do the exhibitionist thing and trying to push the envelope. And yet they can't to the same degree because it's WWE. There's a lot of moments that I remember from that little period. And of course, who can ever forget the Elimination Chamber, December to Dismember pay-per-view.
Yeah. Debacle.
Yeah.
Well, why did it fail? I mean, it failed because you were talking about guys that were, you know, like Rob Van Dam, and you're talking about guys like CM Punk that the crowd took to. Perfect example, CM Punk, the crowd is taking to. First one eliminated from the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
And Vince's buddy there, or pan chosen guy, Bobby Lashley, you know, wins the belt.
Yeah.
You know, and then Vince wins the belt.
Yeah.
You know, it had died at that Elimination. Yeah. It had died right at that, right before that December to Dismember is when it died. It had a good 6 month run where, you know, they were building it and using it and doing it. It was the new thing. But like anything WWE does, 6 months is over. Now it's on to the next new thing. And the problem with this is that they had a television show as remnants.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Bobby Lashley, you got Test. You know, you got, you know, all the Vince McMahon was a champion. And then you started to bring in ECW as NXT and to a little bit of a degree where you had guys like Christian and Jack Swagger. And it basically became a European title.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the ratings went up when Christian went in there. Two guys that were given that belt after it was already obviously – it was not ECW after it had become WECW.
Here, let me read the next part of his question.
Well, I just said there's two guys that increased the ratings, and that was Christian and Mark Henry.
And Mark Henry, yeah. But it's something I've never fully understood. I wasn't watching wrestling at the time, but I recently found some episodes online and been watching it, but a little bit more confused. I noticed a wrestler involved seemed to be appropriate. ECW mainstays like Tommy Dreamer, Sandman, and Sabu. Plus current superstars like Punk, Christian, Big Show. So it seems like the talent should have been there. The matches weren't great on a few episodes I've seen, but I think it wouldn't be like that all the time. I've seen an episode that featured an extreme strip poker segment running throughout the show, hosted by Balls Mahoney and had divas from throughout the WWE brands playing poker. I'm surprised it did actually end with them ripping off their clothes, although be it censored, but I couldn't believe they would do something like that on a WWE brand. Maybe 10 years earlier, but not in 1998. Seems like the perfect combination of a more mature wrestling show, but after years it got canceled. Considering the complaints about current PG rating, do you think this should have been foolproof? What happened?
Okay, well, number one, I have to say, I'm glad actually you did read it. That's the most literate, that's the best written letter we've ever received.
I know.
Most of our listening audience can barely write, let's be honest. Barely literate. Much like the hosts, most of them can't say anything. And there was Addy once again eating chips because who eats on a podcast? That's always a great sound. If you're going to eat something, why not a chip? And then he stepped away. Where? I don't know. He didn't even leave me with a question this time. He just stepped away like a motherfucker. But okay, maybe he did leave me with a question. What happened? A lot of this is. You'll go back to why was ECW brought back, you know? And you had the pay-per-views. Well, first off, you had the DVD, The Rise and Fall of ECW. And it was an unbelievable success. You know, it's outselling like WrestleManias and outselling, you know, some of the big-name stars, your John Cena's and your Triple H's, the Rock's. Like, it's outselling. This DVD sales are through the roof. showing that there was an interest in the product from those DVD sales. And that's absolutely true. Why don't you eat another chip on the air there, you fucker?
Okay.
That's
Who eats on a podcast?
I already said that. Anyway, yeah. So, but the DVD sales of that Rise and Fall of ECW did show that there was an interest. And part of that was people that were old fans. And part of it was people who had heard the legend of it who just wanted to find out about it. Then they hold the pay-per-view. Great success. Planned to be a one-off. Great success. They decide to do it again. And the momentum is there. So everybody's thinking, oh, they're going to start this because they can make money off of it. It's going to be a new brand. They're actually going to tour with it. And the theory now is that Vince just started it because he wanted the time slot of a new time slot and to get paid for it and wanted to do something else with it after killing ECW. He wanted to kill the ECW. He wanted to kill those ECW chants that happened every time you took out a table, every time you took out of, anything, any old guy came out that was had any sort of ECW, heritage. So I don't know if that's true or not.
I mean, it does seem
pretty far-fetched.
You can say what you want about Vince McMahon, but Vince McMahon will make money if he can make money.
Yeah.
And Vince McMahon, you think of the people that he's let back in, the people that he has done business. Think of how many times he's never going to do business with Hogan again. And he's done business with Hogan. How many times did Shawn Michaels give him a headache and he thought he could make money with him, so he kept him around? I mean, absolutely. How many people he's brought back. So for ECW, I think that...
But the thing is...
I would subscribe to the theory that Vince McMahon thought that after ECW ran its course, he could use that time slot for something else. I absolutely believe that he would think that. Which, so that to me is like, I've always got a fallback plan because I can put different show on this fucking time slot.
So if I kill this, it's fine. Now I got that time slot.
Not if I kill it, but that's the part that makes it plausible.
I'm not saying I believe it, but that's the part that makes it plausible.
No, the part that, not if I kill it, but if it dies. That's two different meanings there. If this dies, I can use the time slot. Not if I go and kill this. I don't believe
he did kill it also. Like I say, that's a conspiracy theory that you hear out there. But one of the reasons I believe
he killed it, but not on purpose.
Well, yeah, but not on purpose. But that is a conspiracy. One of the reasons don't get me wrong. I mean, that's RVD, for instance, believes that, that he wanted it. He was sick of hearing the ECW chants. And I definitely think he was sick of hearing the ECW chants. And I don't think he went out there to kill it, though. I do think once it was close to being dead, he said, I'm going to fucking kill it. I'm going to put the belt on myself. Like, I do think he thought, okay, good, I can get rid of it now.
Once the opening happened,
I think he thought, yeah, fuck it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to kill this brand and get rid of this ECW chance bullshit. But I don't think he went into it with that. And one of the reasons why I say that is because we talk about this December to Dismember debacle, and we talk about how Punk was the most over with the crowd, and there, immediately they turned around and eliminated him, and Bobby Lashley wins the belt from Big Show, who was the champion at the time. And we talk about this, and Paul Heyman, that was where he quit. He had just had enough. And he goes to the backstage, and this thing goes off the air after like 2 hours and 10 minutes. With like two matches announced going into the show and no promotion, and a week after a WWE pay-per-view, which got all the momentum. And he goes in the back, and Vince was ecstatic. He was going, it went great, pal. That was perfect. What a great pay-per-view. People are going to love that. He literally thought this was going to get over, which makes me think, okay, he wasn't trying to kill it. Like, he thought that he did the right thing for business that
day. Yeah. He did kill it, but not on purpose. That's the thing. And, I mean, you go look at after, and, I mean, like you said, I mean, you had your – then it became sort of a – like I said, it became a European title. It became like a Sunday Night Heat where you could use – it's almost like what I watch NXT for now is that you could watch like a Mark Henry with an Abraham Washington or no, Mark Henry had Tony Atlas with him. And, and was this dominant champion, the Silverback with the Silver ECW title. And you had Jack Swagger that could have the belt for a while, and Christian that could have the belt for a while, and like the CM Punk John Morrisons that were coming up, the Miz and Morrison that were able to develop characters on ECW. Shelton Benjamin didn't work, but they gave him a shot. Sheamus started in ECW, having matches with Goldust of all people, on ECW. And it didn't always work. I mean, you had like a Yoshitatsu that, they never went anywhere or did anything with, but they gave him that shot, and some other guys that aren't around anymore.
I wouldn't say they ever gave Yoshitatsu a shot, but.
No, but they featured him. He's a new guy that it's like, okay, here's now a guy, Yoshitatsu, that's on. And they said, yeah, they never really used him and gave him a push. But that was sort of meant to be. This is where new guys go now to debut.
Yeah.
And they work a while, and then we'll move them up, right? And then they had the faux brand split thing where they could, put Big Daddy V and Kane on, and then Kane beats Chavo for, the ECW title at the WrestleMania there in like 8 seconds or whatever it was. I mean, it was just it was a C show.
Yes, absolutely.
But you could use some new guys, and some guys would come out of that like a CM Punk and like a Mark Henry better for it.
Yeah, Jack Swagger, guys like that.
I don't know that Jack Swagger Sheamus came out better for it.
He did.
Sheamus definitely did. Sheamus yeah. did.
One of the things you have to keep in mind is it debuted to a 3.1. And then it was like 2.8 and then like a 2.4 and then like up to a 2.6. And when it settled in at about a 1.6 to, for a longest time. So still significantly more viewers than TNA and not that far from SmackDown. But I mean, the initial, and the fact that they were able to at one point get in twos and they did stay there for a little while where, that's not far off from Raw either in some degree.
Yeah.
But again, it proves how they actually killed it. Why did they kill it? Well, one of the reasons that again, if you go back to Heyman and you listen to him, Vince McMahon, one of the reasons he wanted it there was he wanted somebody to compete with him. He wanted somebody to fight with. He wanted somebody. He had lost that competitive edge. There was nobody competing with him. He was looking to start it. But then Heyman wanted to do his thing, and Vince would fight with him on it. Not because necessarily even because he had a different vision, though he had a different vision, but because he loved to fight. And he wanted somebody to challenge him and challenge his booking ideas and challenge him. And that's not what – that was counterproductive for the product. It was good for Vince McMahon's ego.
Yes.
Counterproductive for the product.
It was. And I mean, but you also have to look back because we're talking about 2006, which isn't exactly a great year wrestling wise.
No.
At all, right? I mean, so you're also looking at.
Well, look at
that.
Who was on the top. Randy Orton, John Cena.
Yeah, like that would never fly now.
Yeah. Anyways, you're saying.
Well, I'm just saying, like, wrestling as a whole wasn't good, so we're talking about killing it. WWE got their good run with Vince and Trump that year, and Shawn and Cena, and Batista and Undertaker was the three matches for that WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But that was it. I mean, they didn't have really anything else going on that year.
No.
And so when talking about it dying, wrestling, part of the reason was that we were talking about brands with Raw and SmackDown. Like, wrestling just didn't need a third show then. I don't know.
They don't need a third show now.
I know they don't need a third show now, but I'm just saying that why did it die? I'm saying I don't think it could ever succeed.
And well, but also when they're bringing over, they talk about, you're bringing over, you have new guys, you have some ECW guys, and you have some WWE guys to give us star power.
Yeah.
Again, one of the reasons why there was interest in the product was the idea that it was going to be an alternative. So you start bringing over the WCW or the, WWE guys and push all of them over the ECW guys.
Yeah.
That hurts. The product. I mean, WWE guys there wasn't enough. I mean, just people didn't want Big Show there. Like that's not what they were looking for.
And I like the idea. Yeah, they accepted Kurt Angle.
Yeah, they accepted it, Kurt Angle.
That's it. And I like the idea. And I mean, the idea was the storyline that again they never really got to tell because of the WWE guys coming in, and like the big shows, and the and you had your, you know, against the Batistas and all that bullshit, but you had guys, you had the, it was the new blood against the originals.
Yeah.
Right? New breed or whatever it was called against the originals, where you had guys like the Pope, Elijah Burke, Marquise Corvan, you had the Kevin Thorne, the vampire guy, Striker.
Knox.
Yeah, the Knox. and against, you know, against Sandman and Tommy Dreamer and
Balls Mahoney.
And Rhino and Balls Mahoney.
Not
and,
Rhino.
And
Rhino turned down going there.
Right, okay. Yes, that's right. That's right. He was in TNA at the time, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, all the originals, Justin Crowley or whoever.
Yeah.
The originals. And then you had CM Punk.
Yeah.
And both sides were vying for CM Punk. And they didn't ever play that out. They
no,
did
they
it a
didn't.
Little bit. They never finished it.
No.
And it was like, that could have been your, you know, that was supposed to be your a bit of your story. But then it was like, no, we got to have titles on the Big Show. Now we have to have the Big Show fight. And then we got Bob Holly. And we got to have this Bobby Lashley. And
yeah.
We got all this other test and all this other horse shit.
And the idea that these weren't Heyman's guys was part of it.
Well, part
to the
of it
crowd.
You were to take the original ECW guys and you were to use them to create
the new,
new guys, but not to take guys that couldn't get over in WWF like Test and Bob Holly and now try to push them in ECW.
Over the ECW guys. Like I said, the idea
anybody.
That these guys were being thrust on Heyman instead of Heyman wanting to these guys was part of the reasons that the crowd went. There was just a sense from the beginning that this wasn't what they thought it could be or would be.
You can tell. I mean, you could tell. You go to, I mean, we both have jobs, and how many times we go to meetings, and when something's coming from a corporate level, from a top level,
yeah,
and but then your boss is trying to explain it to you, and your boss doesn't believe it,
but
or your
trying
boss
to pretend they do.
Shit. And you can tell.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
You can totally tell. And that's exactly what this was, is that Heyman was trying to put – he's going to put a spin on it. Yeah, we're going to use Bob Holly. But everybody could tell, I don't want to use Bob Holly.
Yeah.
Because who the fuck does? I mean, maybe if he had that space monkey. But other than that –
it's true. No, I mean, again, the idea for Heyman that he was fighting with you know, that he had to fight with Vince, that the idea that he couldn't –
yeah.
The Vince wasn't working with him was one of the reasons why he decided not to do it. And it's funny because you listen to Heyman, he'll say, that's one of the reasons why he decided to quit. Well, as he's going to quit, Stephanie's one of the people who's trying to convince him to stay, which is ironic because Stephanie and him, you know, did not have a strong relationship, obviously, when he was a booker several years earlier, and she really pushed him out. So, yeah, it's... And again, it comes back to, I mean, even if you go back to the invasion angle, or even if you go back to Bill Watts and UWF and all this stuff back, it always goes back to, if you didn't create it, you want to show that what you had was superior.
Yes.
You know, like, you know, and it's almost like Vince just wanted to show that his WWE and his ideas were superior.
You know what? And it is a lot like Bill Watts coming in and running WCW.
Yeah.
You know, WCW buys UWF, and Bill Watts comes in a few years later to run WCW, and he's like, you know what, I'm just going to do it like the UWF, and he can't.
No, he can't.
Part of it, too, is that you can never go home again.
That's true.
You know, and that you can't, as much as like, we talk about the Attitude Era even being great. I mean, and
well,
even
hey,
going back to the
80s
era.
We love old school Raw because old school Raw happens once a year, not
exactly.
Because it happens weekly.
Because we want to see it all the time. Exactly. Speaking of can't go home again, TNA.
Yeah.
They were unable to secure any dates for Universal Studios in 2014 because all the sound stages have been booked out for other productions. Mm-hmm. So they did their few... At the end of 2013 here, they did, I don't know, five or six tapings, and they figured that they would just go back there to a different soundstage, but go back to in the Impact Zone. not going to be the case. Impact Zone's full. No room in the inn for TNA. So now they honestly at this point they actually have Huntsville, Alabama for that live show they're going to call Genesis.
Yes.
And then they don't know where they're going.
Well, maybe because they're not going anywhere.
You know where they need to go? They need to go to Memphis and go in that little soundstage.
Oh, yeah. Like there.
But I don't think they could fill it.
No, God, no. Not unless they get Lawler.
Lawler.
I am on my DVR, PVR. I am just building up impacts and not watching them and not deleting them. Just building them up. And I want to watch them because it's rustling and I just cannot find myself. I cannot motivate myself to watch them. So I'm just building up this huge collection of them. And some of that was SmackDown, though eventually I'll go and watch one. I'm more likely actually to watch a SmackDown live. You know, if it's like, oh, fuck it, it's on, I'll do that.
Fuck it.
Well, yeah, but...
Yeah, no, it's another nail in the coffin here. They don't know what they're doing.
No,
and to some degree it's sad, but I also from a selfish perspective, I mean, I do hope that this means that Sting can come to WWE.
Oh, me too. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, it's just,
but,
I don't know there.
I mean, it's definitely not good.
No, it's not good for those people who want to work there, who feed their families through their jobs there, whatever, or maybe pay their rent, but can't afford food. So they get food stamps.
I was going to say food stamps is how they get paid. I think.
Yeah. All right. So we got 5 minutes to have him on.
Who?
Him. He's called another three times.
Oh, all right. You want to answer the phone then?
Well, I'm going to go take a piss.
Oh. Well, why are you going to do that to me? I'm supposed to be the asshole. All right. Hi, Jeff.
That's J E F.
Uh huh. It's not.
J. Shit, hold on 1 second.
You're not very smart, are you?
I wrote it down. 1 second.
You're from Nashville, right?
No, that was the first draft. That's not what I wrote. J E.
Uh huh.
Double F.
Yeah, double F U.
Yeah. E N.
No.
O R.
Oh, you're getting close.
Floyd.
What?
That's Jeff. I'm Jeff Unemployed.
You are Jeff Unemployed. You are Jeff Unemployed, yeah? It's a good thing that...
That's double E. Oh. Jeff Unemployed. Aren't I a great speller? You know, I told my wife, Karen, that, you know, I was... unemployed. And you know what she said? She said, well, don't fucking touch me. Get your fucking hands off me. That's J E double F. U N N N D O R P L E E E D. Jeff Unemployed. Ain't I unemployed? That's right. So it's okay when Terrence said that to me. You know what I did there? I just pulled out the old chosen one and I gave it the stroke. I beat off is what I'm saying. I masturbated. You know, I can actually put a figure four leg lock on it if I want. That's J E double F. O N O N P L N O Y E D. That's double J. Jeff Unemployed. Ain't I unemployed?
All right, we're cutting him off there. I can't really take enough any more of him there. He's just kind of going on, but he's been wanting to bug us and let us know his side of the story. So about leaving AAA or TNA. So we're glad we got it out there. I actually do think he's still employed in TNA, but we're glad, Jeff. Likely never be on the show again. I think we can all agree that would be for the best. And Addy has stepped away, and I'm going to wrap it up here. You can email the show, and if you're literate, unlike the hosts, at Addy, Addie, at WeTalkWrestling.com. You find us on iTunes. As I say, there will be some iTunes change feeds coming in the future, but we will get that cleared up and always be on iTunes. We're also available on Stitcher. Let me see. And, of course, it's WeTalkWrestling.com. That's the best place to get us. And also you can reach us at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter. And with that, I do believe we're officially OUT. This is the part where Addy would never say anything bad about me because he's no longer an asshole, right, Addy?
What's that, Cocklick? I had to leave because you had Jeff Jarrett on. Anyway, I got to get going because I have people here.
Yeah, people.
So
it's okay.
WeTalkWrestling.com.
Signed off. We're signed off.
All right.
I already bugs. I had Jeff on. I cut him off. Everything.
Perfect.
So we're done. So it's just like it's just you and me now. Nobody's listening anymore. You want to? Like, just hang out and talk or something?
You're a fat fuck.